You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States, Canada, and around the world. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up today, Jen, listening in Sylvan Lake, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have a friend who is going to seminary, and she also is attending a church in Vancouver, who wants to send her to a course in Florida on healing ministries by a man named Francis McNutt. And she was asking for my opinion, and I don't know anything about him. And I tried to research, but I couldn't find anything out. So I was just going to find out if you know anything about his theology and his healing ministry, and if you just have insight on that.
Well, I do. I wrote about him in a book titled Counterfeit Revival. Father Francis McNutt is a Catholic priest who traces his initiation in the slain and the spirit phenomenon to the faith healer Catherine Kuhlman. So he himself experienced being slain in the spirit at one of her healing ceremonies. And from that first confusing experience, he has become one of its most prominent promoters. Now, as I've said many times on the broadcast, slain in the spirit has no basis whatsoever biblically. It's a phenomenon that, ironically, he confesses he has seen used by evil spirits. He has seen it as a manifestation of voodoo and other magic rites, that it is found in different sects in the Orient, as well as among primitive tribes of Africa and Latin America. And so what is interesting is that he recognizes that it has no biblical base, and yet he continues to promote it along with a lot of his false and fake healings.
All right. Well, that definitely answers my question then. I will tell her that and pass it along. Thank you very much for that.
You got it. And the book Counterfeit Revival is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Bob. He's listening in Washington, D.C. Hi, Bob.
How are you doing, Mr. Hanegraaff? Bless you and your ministry. Thank you very much for taking my call today.
You're welcome.
Call about Ephesians 1 and predestination. Fundamental question. Does God know everything that will happen, or does God know everything that can happen and all possible permutations therefrom?
Well, God knows everything that will happen. He knows all things exhaustively. And the fact that he knows what is going to happen in the future does not mean that the future is fatalistically determined. As I've said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we as human beings can see this from an experiential perspective. We can look back at things that happened in the past. We can have exhaustive knowledge about what happened, because we were there, we watched it firsthand. But the fact that we watched it or saw it or know about it does not, of course, mean that we caused it, that we were the causal agent of it. So the fact that God then knows not only the past exhaustively, but the future exhaustively as well, is not the same as saying that the future is fatalistically determined.
Do you understand sort of the difficulty I have and what I perceive as squaring the circle in how that seems to deny my free will then?
Well, I don't think it does. If you were fatalistically determined, as you are in philosophical naturalism's worldview, then it would deny your freedom. But this does not deny your freedom at all. You are certainly free. And the fact that God knows what you are going to do or what you are going to freely choose in the future does not mean that those choices are not free. And that's anything but a squared circle. If we were talking about fatalistic or theistic determinism and then trying to square that, as it were, with the circle of freedom, I think that would, in fact, pose a problem. But that's not what I'm communicating.
Okay. Do you have any writings that you've discussed on this that I might be able to reference in order to be able to take a look at?
I do. I've written about this in various places. In fact, there's an entry in my book, Afterlife, which deals with this.
Okay, I'll take a look at that. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
You got it. Thanks so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jeff in Marysville, Washington. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Hank. My question is on John 1:3. It says in there that, you know, all things were created by God, and apart from him, nothing was created. And then it says that has been created. There's no period. There's no comma. And I just kind of wanted to get some clarification on that second part of that statement there, you know, where it says that has been created, because it's like John's trying to say something there.
Yeah, what John is saying is that through Christ, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So John is simply saying that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. And of course, that idea is communicated in Colossians as well, when we read from Paul's writings there that Jesus Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together, that he is the one, in fact, that creates everything, that nothing has been made apart from his making it. So this simply elevates Jesus Christ as the one who spoke and the limitless galaxies leapt into existence. He is the creator of all that is.
Okay. Well, thank you, Hank. I appreciate that.
You got it. And of course, as I was mentioning, in Colossians, we see the supremacy of Jesus Christ. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation, for by him, and then the words, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without you, we couldn't do what we do. When you give, be pleased to send you one of the resources that we recommend. All of these resources you can find on the web. You can select one when you give to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our outreaches around the world. Anything you can do to help would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of his kingdom. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Mike, Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what a blessing to hear from you. I got a question. I got a friend of mine out in California. He's kind of backed away from early church attendance, and he listens and watches religiously this Shepherd's Chapel with Murray, and it's just like he's just forsook all fellowship, and I can't talk to him about scripture because he winds up quoting this guy, and I'm just going, whoa. So I was just wondering if you had anything that I could read or to just find out where he's coming from.
Yeah, a couple of things. One is, obviously, it's very dangerous to separate from church fellowship. I mean, it is within the context of the church that we partake of the means of grace, most particularly through the Eucharist. And so to separate yourself from that, I think, is a very serious thing. And then to be listening to someone like Arnold Murray, that's double jeopardy, because this is a man who denies the Trinity. He believes that men were gods who existed prior to their life on earth. He teaches Anglo-Israelism, the idea that the Anglo-Saxons are the chosen race. There are so many other things that could be mentioned. He teaches a serpent seed doctrine, the idea that Eve had sex with the snake and bore Cain, and there you have the Kenites, as he puts it. He teaches annihilationism, and on it goes. So this is a dangerous guy to watch, dangerous in that he not only denies essential Christian doctrine, but he takes secondary issues that we can debate vigorously and shouldn't divide over and elevates them to the status of essential Christian doctrine. So again, maybe double or triple jeopardy here for your friend.
Wow. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to really check your website. Anything you recommend that I could get more information?
You know, I can't remember off the top of my head if we've done an article on Arnold Murray, but I'm sure we have a fact sheet available. If you'll hang on, we can get it out to you, or else you can check the web at equip.org.
I'll check the web.
Well, thanks for your call. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission. They're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And right back to our telephone callers. Next up is Bob listening in Hanson, Arkansas. Hi, Bob.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Hank. My question is about the serpent in the Garden of Eden when he was communicating with Eve. My question is, what do you think the serpent looked like before it got changed into a snake? You know, he said, for your punishment on thy belly shall I crawl. And so I was just kind of wondering what it looked like, you know, before it got changed into a, you know, a snake. I think it just looked similar, just with maybe two legs or...
No. Look, you have to look at why the Bible describes Satan as a twisted serpent whom God alone can crush. The metaphor is pregnant with meaning. Let me cash that out for you, because the biblical imagery of the twisted serpent is a portrayal of Satan's fall. So once he held a privileged position in God's kingdom, but now he becomes even lower than the livestock. They have legs. He, however, crawls on his belly and eats dust. So those who know the Old Testament immediately recognize the metaphor. Micah, like Moses, uses the imagery of a serpent to depict nations seeking to thwart the purposes of God. They will lick dust like a snake, like creatures that crawl on the ground. So the idea here is that this is a metaphor. This is not what Satan looks like. It is what Satan is like. After all, Jesus Christ did not defeat principalities and powers of darkness by stepping on the head of a snake.
Right. Okay. Well, I just appreciate your ministry, and sometimes I listen to, I'm a truck driver, and these preachers, I don't know how the people listen to some of them, but I just appreciate you because you preach the truth. We also need to support ministries like you. We need to support you spiritually and financially, but I'd say if a lot of people sent in just $25 a month, well, I guess that would help you out, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, that's what I figure.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, what I've said many times on the broadcast is if people give on a monthly basis, it would supercharge the ministry. I don't know how else to put it. So thank you very much for your prayers and for your support. Deeply appreciated.
Okay, God bless you. Thank you, Hank. Bye-bye.
You got it. And remember that if we're going to read the Bible literally, it means that we read it as literature. And what that means, in turn, is that we are to interpret the Word of God just as we interpret other forms of communication in the most obvious and natural sense. So when Moses uses the symbolism of a snake, we would do violence to his intentions if we interpret him in a wooden, literal fashion. And here's why. A literalistic interpretation does as much violence to the biblical text as a spiritualized interpretation that empties the text of all objective meaning. If the historical Adam and Eve did not eat the forbidden fruit, if they didn't descend into a life of habitual sin resulting in death, there would be no need for redemption. If, on the other hand, Genesis was reduced to an allegory conveying merely abstract ideas about temptation, sin, and redemption, devoid of any correlation with actual events in history, the very foundation of Christianity would be destroyed. The prophet Moses, describes Satan as an ancient serpent. The Apostle John describes him as an ancient dragon. And again, as I mentioned earlier, they don't intend to tell us what Satan looks like. They want to teach us what Satan is like. Dragons, after all, are the stuff of mythology, not theology. So if we think of Satan as either a slithering snake or a fire-breathing dragon, we not only misunderstand the nature of fallen angels, but we might well suppose that Jesus triumphed over the work of the devil by stepping on the head of a snake rather than through his passion on the cross. So Eve was not deceived by a talking snake, as though snakes have vocal cords. Rather, Moses used the symbol of a snake to communicate the wiles of the evil one who deceived Eve through mind-to-mind communication, precisely as he seeks to deceive you and I today. The ramifications of taking Satan and giving him creative power are draconian, to say the least. If, in fact, Satan can materialize, then he could have masqueraded as a resurrected Christ, and now you lose epistemic warrant for the central event in the Christian faith, the post-resurrection appearances of Christ. So there are a lot of ramifications that you simply don't want to go there. I've written about this in a book called The Creation Answer Book. Back of the phone lines, and we'll talk to Robert. He's listening in Springfield, Missouri. Oh, hi, Robert.
Yes, hi, Hank. I was recently invited to go to a church down in Branson, Missouri, and this guy named Keith Moore, after about 20 minutes of a praise and worship sort of startup, he projected onto a screen a fuselage of an airplane, a jet he wanted, and he had it colored out. Now we need to start paying for this. Part of my point, you know, it just infuriates me, this sort of thing. I immediately walked out. This giving to get stuff, these guys are con artists. How did they get, why is it not being stopped? Is there no way of stopping these guys?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, their power and their prestige is so great that there are otherwise normal pastors that are having these faith teachers in their pulpit. I'm absolutely shocked, for example, at some of the churches that invite T.D. Jakes to speak and the kinds of honorariums that they pay him to come and speak at their church. Well, part of it is because they're garnering a huge crowd, but yeah, it's the fact that they have such popularity and such position that if you say anything about it, it is extraordinarily costly. And I can tell you firsthand, from a ministry standpoint, that is the case. I can also say that firsthand from a personal standpoint. When I wrote Christianity in Crisis and exposed the kind of shenanigans of Oral Roberts and Richard Roberts and the like, of Benny Hinn and Paul Crouch, there was a huge price to be paid, and that price continues to be paid. But the ministry is not the place to be politically correct. What you ultimately have to do is speak the truth in love, but don't fail to speak the truth. The reason that so many of these pastors have huge platforms is because they can pay big dollars to radio stations, to television stations. They have huge, huge audiences that they bring to others. And so people, instead of speaking out, they simply stifle. I remember when I wrote my book, The Astinification of American Christianity, there was a pastor in our neighborhood that started promoting Joel Osteen as one of the great men of God. But the reality is that what he is teaching is decidedly dangerous to believers. What usually is not communicated is the dark underbelly of the teachings. And the fact that people like Osteen, they mock paraplegics. Why? Because if they had enough faith, they would simply get up out of their wheelchair and walk. And that's the idea. And it is communicated in such a way that people buy or I might say, bite into the poisoned apple without realizing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's time for maybe I'll write it another Elmer Gantry. There's in a metaphorical way, kind of expose these guys, not taking them on directly, but in a sort of a creative way, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, I name names in Christianity in Crisis. I don't pull any punches, and I wrote a book called The Austinification of American Christianity. I only use that word as an umbrella term because Austin's the biggest of the bunch.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just a joke. It infuriates me. I'm a retired physician. It just galls me. I can't tell you. My father was a pastor, been a Christian all my life. You know, Bible-believing, reading, and, you know, in the Old Testament, nobody ever gave God something so they could get merchandise. I mean, it wasn't like that. That wasn't the spirit of it at all. You know what I mean? It wasn't a give to get thing. It was
a give
to God, and then whatever happened. But you know, anyways, enough said. I appreciate your ministry, and I will. I'm going to sign on and begin contributing to your efforts.
Thank you so much, Robert. Appreciate your call. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be right back here tomorrow with more.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.